Amen. Good morning. Welcome to Kairos. We're so glad that you are here with us today. We are in week three of our summer road trip series, and I wanted to quickly share a road trip that I went on a few years ago. It was actually about 7 years ago, seven or six-ish years ago. Me and my family, then of seven, we had five kids at the time, we decided to take a trip up to Tennessee, stay in the mountains, and stayed in a really cool place. It was a Christian place that provide a place for pastors and people in ministry to come and stay at a lower cost, and it was a beautiful place. And so we went up there, and we were just enjoying our time. At the time, we had a Ford Freestyle, and it had, I believe, seven seats. And so we were jammed in there with all of our luggage, and we made the trek up, and we're enjoying the scenery and got to see snow, and the kids got to play. And on the trip, we decided that we wanted to go take the kids tubing. They had a place where you can go tubing down the snow, and so that was like our big thing. We're going to take all of our kids tubing, and it was going to be a lot of fun. And so we were like hyping this up for the kids and getting them all ready. And they're like, when are we going? When are we going? We were showing them videos of it and stuff. And so the day comes, and we set off, and we head towards the tubing place. It was probably about an hour and a half away from where we were staying. And about 25 minutes into the trip going to the tubing place, my car started making a weird noise. And I'm like, that doesn't sound right or normal. That shouldn't be happening. I don't know much about cars, but I'm like, that's not a sound it makes all the time, so probably not a good thing. So no lights were going off, and I didn't see anything, and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. I pulled over, and I like opened the hood, and I was like, yeah, this looks like what I would think it would look like, because I have no idea what I'm doing. And so I'm like, it's not overheating, and I don't know. I'm good on gas, and so I'm like, all right, well, let's just get back on the road. And so we get back on the road, and about 15 minutes later, my car completely just dies. And so I pull over on the side of the road, and I mean, it's done dud, just dead in the water. It's not coming back on, nothing's taking place. And so it's me and my wife and my five kids, who at the time, it was probably between the ages of like five and I think Delaney was 12 at the time, right? Does that math work? Maybe younger. And so I'm just like, okay, we're out here. Luckily, it wasn't Florida, so it wasn't super hot, right? So, you know, that wasn't killing us. But I'm like, I don't know what to do. I'm in the middle of the state. I don't know anybody. I'm, you know, 30 minutes away from where we were staying. My car's done. How am I going to get my car and my kids where they need to go? How am I going to get home? And so we ended up calling the place, and he was able to send a tow truck out. And as we were talking to the tow truck, we're like, hey, but I need to get my entire family somewhere. And so the tow truck came out, and someone that, like, it was a family-owned tow truck business, they got someone to bring their vehicle to transport our kids with our car back to the dealership that we were taking it to. And so, all right, we get over to the dealership, and we're sitting there, and, you know, we're kind of just waiting, and we had to wait for them to, you know, get it and look at it and inspect it. And so we were sitting in the dealership for about an hour and a half. Again, five kids already are done. It wanted to go tubing. Tubing is not happening. I don't know how we're getting home. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and we're waiting. I'm calling the guy at the place we're staying. I'm just letting him know what's going on and that we may need his assistance to get back to where we're staying. The technician comes in, and he says, hey, listen, your transmission is shot. Like, it's dead. And so he's like, and so it's going to be about $7,000 in repairs. And I'm like, I didn't pay that much for that car. First off, and then second off, I don't have the money to pay for the repairs. And so I'm like, I need to, it's just one of those moments where you're just like, this is not what we were supposed to do. I wanted to tube today, not be in the dealership talking about the $7,000 repairs on my car. And so I'm like, all right, well, I don't do anything. I really can't pay for anything. I need to collect my thoughts. I need some time. I need to make some phone calls. So I call the place that we're staying with. He comes and picks us up, takes us back, and we're just talking through it with him. And he's like, hey, listen, if you need two extra days, you can stay two extra days on the house. Don't worry about it. I was like, praise Jesus for that. And so he was really great. The tow truck place was really great. I was working at my old church, and I called them and let them know what was going on. And they're like, just, hey, go get a rental and get whatever size you need, and we'll pay for it. We want to make sure you get back here and don't have to worry about anything. And so we ended up getting back, and my car ended up staying there, and it was done, and we just said, well, whatever, and I was out of a car. Anyway, but through it all, what I got to see, while we didn't get to go tubing that day, what I got to see is God show up in big ways, and God provide. And just, I got to see the goodness and kindness of people that I didn't even know. I got to be provided for, both financially, with a vehicle, and I was just so thankful that God showed up in that moment, and he provided what I needed, and he guided us, and that, you know, it wasn't something worse, and he protected and saved us. And so it was just one of those things. It was a detour that I wasn't expecting, but I got to see God show up, and I got to see God's people show up, and it was a really, really cool thing. And thankfully, that detour didn't become our final destination because of God's provision. And this is what I'm talking about today, is God's provision. This is one of God's road trip promises, right, that he will provide for us. Even when detours show up, God will provide. So, on our summer road trips, on our any road trip, on our trips of life that we're on, here's the question that I want to pose today. If you knew everything that was going to happen along the trip that God has for you, do you think you would actually go? All the things that you had to deal with, all the things that you had to experience, all that you had to go through, do you think you would still go? Now, we've been talking about the Israelites and their Exodus road trip, their journey from Egypt through the wilderness to the promised land. And I think about this, the same question for the Israelites. Do you think the Israelites would have said yes to that journey if Moses and God laid out everything that they would have to experience and go through in order to get to the promised land? Something tells me no. Let me just lay out a few of the things that they were experiencing and had to endure. On this journey, some of them got swallowed up by the earth. This is a really, really cool story. Not for them, but it's a cool story to read about when the earth just opens up and swallows a bunch of people. I was like, this, I don't know. That's cool. Anyway, again, not for them. It was bad for them. But people were swallowed up by the earth. And, it, you know, if Moses and God would be like, hey, there's going to be a moment where you have to walk through the Red Sea. You'd be like, what are you talking about? You're going to walk through? How does that even? No, I'm not going to do it. Their diet consisted of manna and quail for a very, very long time, right? You know, sometimes we get fed up with eating the same things, and I'm guessing, and we saw that they got fed up, right? So 40 years they had to eat manna and quail. There were snake bites. There were plagues. There was war. There was the wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. Many of the Israelites dying in the wilderness, never even entering the promised land. And then they go and scout the promised land, and what awaits them there? Giants, fortified cities, right? And then it's like, okay, now you got to go and conquer all these places. And like, if they were to say, you know, hey guys, here's what's going to happen. Here's what we're going to go through. Do you think any of them would be like, yeah, let's go? No, they'd be like, no, we're good. We're going to stay here. We're going to stay in Egypt. This does suck where we're at, but that sounds worse. And that's the case. Like, if I told you, if someone told me everything I had to go through on the road trip that God wanted to send me on, chances are I'd be like, no, I'm going to pass. You see, knowing the details of the detours, right? The inconvenience, the discomfort, the hardship, the unknown variables, the potential loss, all those things, if we know those things, they'll keep us from moving forward. They'll keep us from going on the road trip that God has for us. And if that takes place, what ends up happening is we miss out on the blessing that God has for us. We miss out on the journey that he has for us because we're too afraid of the detours that we might have to face along the way. And so we know the Israelite story. Moses shows up, says, hey, I'm going to lead you out. We're going to go through some stuff, and we're going to go. And so this all takes place. The plagues happen. They leave Egypt. They get to the Red Sea. They cross through the Red Sea, and now it's the journey to the Promised Land. And so they get to this point where they're ready to cross over to the Promised Land. But before they cross over to the Promised Land, Moses is like, hey, let's just really quickly, let's go see what awaits us on the other side. And so where we're getting is that they get to see what's going to happen when they enter into the promised land, and what takes place is the detours that they see ends up leading to doubt and delay in their destination. Let me read this to you in Numbers chapter 13, verse 26. The men who were scouted, there were 12 scouts that were sent out. The men who were scouting went back to Moses and Aaron and the entire Israelite community in the wilderness. They brought back a report for them and the whole community, and they showed them the fruit of the land. They reported to Moses, "We went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey, and here is some of its fruit. However, the people living in the land, they're strong, and their cities are large and fortified. We also saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites are living in the land of the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites live by the sea and along the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people in the presence of Moses and said, "We must go up and take possession of the land because we can certainly conquer it." But the men who had gone up with him responded, "We can't go. We can't go up against the people because they are stronger than we are." So they gave a negative report to the Israelites about the land they had scouted. "The land we passed through to explore is one that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw in it are men of great size. We even saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. To ourselves, we seemed like grasshoppers, and we must have seemed the same to them." And so they scouted out, and they see what awaits them. There's fortified cities, and there's giants, and it looks too difficult. Now, they saw the good. They saw the blessing. They saw the opportunity. All of them saw that. But some of them, in fear and doubt, showed up and delayed them from reaching that destination because of the potential detours that they would face. And so here's the reality. Doubting God during our detours puts us in danger of delaying our destination and also our blessing. You see, Israel's fear and doubt, it turned into 40 years of wandering, 40 years of not reaching their destination. And for some of them, it was 40 years until they got to the destination. But for many, they never got to go into the promised land. They never reached their destination. Let me finish the story in Numbers 14. Verse 1 says, "Then the whole community broke into loud cries, and the people wept that night. All the Israelites complained about Moses and Aaron, and the whole community told them, 'If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in this wilderness. Why is the Lord bringing us up into this land to die by the sword? Our wives and little children will become plunder. Wouldn't it be better for us to go back to Egypt?' So they said to one another, 'Let's appoint a leader and go back to Egypt.' Then Moses and Aaron fell down with their faces to the ground in front of the whole assembly of the Israelite community. Joshua and Caleb, who were among them, who scouted out the land, tore their clothes and said to the Israelite community, 'The land we passed through and explored is extremely good land. If the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us into this land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and he will give it to us. Only don't rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid of the people of the land, for we will devour them. Their protection has been removed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them.'" I'm going to skip forward to verse 30, and they keep complaining, and they keep saying, "Hey, we don't want to go." And this is God's response to them, Numbers 14, verse 30. "I swear that none of you will enter the land I promised to settle you in, except for Caleb and Joshua. I will bring your children, whom you said would become plunder, into the land you rejected, and they will enjoy it. But as for you, your corpses will fall in this wilderness." You see, disobedience, doubt and disobedience, they lead to wandering in the wilderness. And there was this prolonged detour, and thousands of Israelites never stepped into the promised land, never reached the destination and the promise and the blessing that God had for them. And I think along the way, you know, the Israelites, I'm sure they're thankful. Like we've been talking about the GPS, like God's guidance, provision, and salvation. And of course, you know, the Israelites have to be thankful for that, but somewhere along the way, they forgot. And maybe for us, like we're thankful for God's guidance, provision, and salvation, but maybe we make the assumption that to get to the destination, it's going to be easy. We get where God's going, it's going to be comfortable, it's going to be convenient. And if it's not, or once we begin to experience these difficult detours, what happens is they deter us from moving forward, moving toward what God had for us. And like the Israelites, when the difficult detours show up, it becomes easier to desire our old lifestyle. It's easier to go back to how we were living. No matter how difficult, no matter how unhappy we were, no matter how unfulfilled we were, we say, you know what? this route is too difficult for us. Let's just go back to how we were living. Let's just stay where we're at. I mean, the Israelites literally said, let's go back to Egypt and die there. You know what awaited them in Egypt, right? It's slavery and oppression and being mistreated. But because the detour that they had in front of them was so difficult, they said, we can't do it. Let's just go back. They even said, we'll just die in the wilderness. They would rather stay wandering in the wilderness than step into God's promise because of a detour that showed up. And so it's so important that we don't let the detours cause us to doubt God's destination promise to us. We have to trust him. We have to trust his process. We have to believe that God can use our detours to develop our faith and trust in him. And that's what he wants to do. That's what he's doing all along. He's saying, hey, listen, I am leading you. I am guiding. I am providing. I am saving. You don't have to be strong enough or wise enough or smart. You don't have to. I can be those things for you. Just trust me. Have the faith to go where I'm leading you and know that I will see you through it. But where there's faith and trust, we know that fear and doubt creep in. Especially when it comes into stepping into something that God calls us to. Because for us, we can. For us, it's impossible, but it's not for him. But doubt and fear, they show up, and they are major factors that keep us from taking these road trips with God. And doubt and fear often lead to disobedience. And when we disobey, that leads to delay in reaching our destination. And sometimes there's a potential that we will never reach the destination that God had for us or what he wanted us to see. That's what happened for the Israelites. Now, I've been talking about just different road trips in our life, and I've said there's relational and there's geographical and there's work, purpose, and hobby road trips. And today I wanted to share a relational road trip to kind of tie this in. About 10 years ago, and actually it's been over about 11 years ago, we entered into the process of becoming foster parents. And before that, we were adoptive parents, but this whole process of fostering and adopting kind of happened there. And as we stepped in to become foster parents, we got the details. We go, you go through these classes, and even leading up to it, like just hearing from other people and, going online and just hearing about all the horror stories. We got to hear everything that could take place in foster care. All the bad, all the ugly, all the mess, all of it. We got to hear the details. We got to read about the details. They even put us in scenarios of what if this happens to you. So we got the detours and the details given to us. And along with that, as we process stepping into this, there's this fear. Fear of negative interactions with biological parents. There's a fear of a foster child's behavior when they come into your home, because you don't know what they've been through, you don't know how they've been raised, but their behavior then kind of affecting your child if you have kids. There's a fear of knowing how to handle a child who has been physically, emotionally, or sexually abused, whether they're 4, 10, or 18. How do I handle that? How do I process that? There's these fears that come along with it. On this journey, I've been cussed out, scratched, hit, and that was by a 3-year-old. I've been manipulated. I've been lied to. I've been threatened. My family's been threatened. I've been accused of abuse. I've had the police show up at my house at 9 o'clock to interview all my kids, all because I've stepped out to do this. I've loved in big ways. And I've given of myself to these kids. And I've also had many sad goodbyes. It's hard. I filled out thousands of pages for foster licensing and home studies and all these things, thousands of pages. I've signed my name one too many times on this journey. I've gone through hundreds of hours of training. Every year, I have to go through hours of training to continue to be a foster parent. And there are many more things and many more detours and many more difficulties that come along the way. But can I just tell you, the blessing far outweighs the detours. I have been beyond blessed by God by stepping into what he called me to. Despite the fear, despite the details of the detours, I've been able to see and experience restoration and redemption and reunification of these families. When you get to see a child go back to their mom and dad, and you get to see them, man, just embrace again, it's a beautiful thing, and you get to see them thrive, and you get to see them, you know, get on the right track. It's amazing to be a part of that. I've been able to bless and come alongside biological parents, many of which, in the scenarios in which I've been able to be in contact with them, what I've realized is they don't have support. They don't have family support. They don't have church support. They're on their own. For many of them, they were a product of the system, or they aged out, and they just needed someone to come alongside them, to tell them that they can do it, to be encouraged. So I've been able to do that, come alongside biological parents. I've also been able to come alongside other foster parents, because this is hard. And so we band together, and we help each other out, and it's a blessing. I've been able to show the love of Jesus to over 30 kids who've come through my home. Just to show them the Father's love, to let them experience the Father's love through me. I'm not perfect, but I got to show them Jesus. I got to have them experience that. And maybe they would never experience it in that way. To experience the type of love that mom and dad are supposed to have for them. And I've been able to do that. Through the process, I've encouraged others to become foster or adoptive parents. And it's a beautiful thing to come alongside them and to watch them go through the process, to, you know, be there for them and support them when they get the first placement, or to go and sit and watch an adoption take place and another adoption take place. And it's, the blessings are absolutely amazing. And lastly, despite all the difficulty and all the detours and all the things that happened along the way, I've been blessed with 8 amazing children. Seven of which I've adopted, all because I said yes. It's been hard. It's been really hard. But what God plans, God's destination on the road trips that we take, it outweighs the detours along the way. And it always will. You want to know why? Because God is there every step of the way. He is present. He is with us. He is for us. He is going to guide, provide, and save. Will it be tough? Yes. Will there be moments when you're like, I don't think I can anymore? Yes. But those are the moments when we say, God, I can't, but I know you can. And we lean into him and we trust him. And we put our faith in him and say, God, lead me through this. God, help me get through this. God, teach me, strengthen me right now as I persevere and endure what I'm going through. God, I want to go into this with you leading the way. And it requires obedience. And if we want to have obedience during our detours, it requires faith. It requires faith and trust in God to continue to guide us and provide for us and save us. At the beginning of the journey, partway through the journey, close to the end, all the way through, there's obedience even when those detours show up. We say, God, I'm going to keep trusting. God, I'm going to continue to have faith in you. God, I'm going to continue to believe because I've seen what you can do. I've seen how you operate. I've seen you overcome the impossible. I've seen you overcome my enemies. I've seen you help me get through the difficult thing that I went through. I've seen you do it, and I know you can do it again. And so it's faith and trust leads to obedience to say, I'm going to go, believing God that you're going to do a great thing through this. So I wonder, do you have the faith to go when God says go, even if you don't have all the details of the detours that might happen along the way? Do you have the faith to go? Because that's one. Because sometimes, many times, God will say go, and we don't get all the details. We don't get to know what's going to happen, right? But then I think the other one is, hey, do you trust God to guide, provide, and save, even if you have knowledge of how difficult the road is going to be? Because then it's like, okay, I know some of the things that are going to take place. I know what I can expect, and maybe it'll be worse, and maybe it won't. But do I trust God enough to say yes to go as well? So these are big, big questions to ask. Do we have the faith and trust in God? Is our covenant relationship with him so strong that we believe wholeheartedly in who he is and what he has for us? You know, we're going to deal with these road trip detours all throughout our life. And so what I want to do is I want to give you kind of 4 ways to deal with our road trip detours. The first one is this. We got to apply God's GPS promise to our detours. We've been talking about the GPS, guide, provide, and save. And so we believe that he's doing that. So when a detour shows up, we got to say, okay, how is God guiding here? How can he provide, how can he guide? How is he guiding? And maybe it's not just how can he guide me, but what is he doing to help me guide others? All right, so we begin to look at this detour, this stop, whatever it is, and we say, God, how are you guiding me right now? How are you using me to guide others? And we ask the same question for provision. God, how are you providing? How can God provide for me or for others? God, how can you save me or redeem or restore whatever is happening, me or others? And so we begin to look at whatever's taking place and say, God, what are you doing? How are you guiding? How are you providing? How are you saving? How are you doing that for me? How are you doing that for others? And so whatever the detour is, man, apply the GPS to it. What is God doing here? How can God do this in this detour? That's number one, apply God's GPS promise. Number two, recall God's blessings. When you get to the detour, to that difficult detour, whatever's taking place, we got to remember what God has already done, how God has already blessed, how God has already helped us. And you think about the Israelites, right? And I know their journey was long. I know it was hard. I know it was arduous. But at somewhere along the way, it's like they forgot. They forgot what God already did, right? He went into Egypt and did these plagues, and he brought them out of Egypt. They plundered Egypt. They get to the Red Sea, and God's like, don't worry, I'm gonna take care of the Egyptians, and you can walk through the Red Sea. And there's blessing. He provided food and water for them in the wilderness. He guided them by a cloud by day and fire by night, and he's all these blessings. And so we gotta recall his blessings when we get to a detour. And so they get to the promised land, and it's like, oh, there's giants and fortified cities. Oh, well, no, we can't, you know. God has not done anything this big. He has, right? So we recall the blessings and say, no, he can. And we know that. And I was thinking about my foster journey. Yeah, it was difficult. But every step of the way, I said, you know what? I've seen God show up before. I've seen God work. I didn't fully understand it. I didn't fully comprehend it. That's not how I would have done it. But God did it, and it was so much better. And all along the way, he's blessed me. And he's blessed me in different ways, not in ways that I would expect, but he's blessed me relationally and financially. He's blessed me locationally and in my work and in my purpose. He's blessed me. So on your road trip, wherever God's leading, you get to a detour, man, recall what God's already done. Recall your current blessings and your past blessings to kind of push you through to what God has next. The third thing, we got to see God's purpose. Purpose in the detour, right? What is God trying to show you? Is God trying to strengthen your faith and trust in him? Because I think about this for the Israelites, right? And God is showing up and showing off in so many ways because he knows what they have to do when they get to the wilderness. And so there's purpose in it. And he's strengthening them, and he's helping them, you know, endure, and he's helping them persevere because he knows when they get to the promised land, yeah, there's giants and fortified cities. And so he's trying to say, hey, it doesn't have to just be you. Look at what I've done for you. And so I believe there's purpose in our detours, and maybe what God is doing in the detour is trying to strengthen you. Maybe he's trying to humble you. Maybe he's trying to give you new perspective on where you're going. Maybe you got a little bit prideful and said, hey, I got here on my own. And God's just reeling you back in and reminding you, hey, I have a purpose in this, and I have a purpose in where I'm going. You see, God uses what we go through to prepare us for what's next. And so look at your detour from that light. See what he is doing and trying to teach you in that moment. The fourth and final thing, we have to make our detour decisions based on faith and trust and not on fear and doubt. We have to continue to have faith and trust in God. Because when we make decisions, when God calls us to go, or we hit this bump in the road, or we hit a detour, and it leads to fear and it leads to doubt, decisions that are made out of fear and doubt lead to delay in the destination. And there's a chance that it could be a denied destination where you just get stuck. Fear and doubt just get you to stay. Or even worse, they get you to backtrack. And so when these things show up, we can't operate out of that. We can't answer out of that. We can't respond that way. We have to respond with faith and trust. And when we respond with faith and with trust, guess what happens? We continue moving forward. God continues leading and we continue following, trusting that he who is leading me and guiding me and telling me to go this way, he's providing, he's protecting, and he's saving, and I'm gonna follow as closely as I possibly can because I want what he has for me. I want to step into what he has for me. Regardless of my fear, regardless of my doubts, regardless of the discouragement, regardless of whatever's taking place, I'm gonna follow him. I'm gonna showcase faith and trust in him. I love in Numbers chapter 13, verse 30, I love Caleb's response. You know, they're there and they're sharing, and some of them are beginning to, you know, share this negative and how it's gonna be so hard. And Caleb says, in verse 30, he says, "We must go up and take possession of the land. We must, because we certainly can conquer it." There was no doubt. There was no fear. We will certainly conquer. And this isn't a faith and trust in the numbers of the Israelites or their strength or their power. It was a faith and trust in God, a God who's shown up, a God who's saved, a God who's guided, a God who's protective. And he says, man, this is light work for our God. He can easily do this. Don't miss this opportunity and blessing to step into the land he promised you. Let's go after it. I love that. And I think that needs to be our response. Like when the enemy comes at us and says we can't, when others say, no, there's no way that's possible, when we're telling ourselves that we're not good enough or that is too hard, man, we need to just say, no, we certainly can. Why can we? Because of God. And so we focus on who he is. We focus on what he's already done. And then we focus on the promise that he gives to us, a promise to guide and protect and to save. And we focus on that. And we get into the book of Joshua. And there's this one line that I think we all need as we begin to step out into what God has for us. It's Joshua 1:9. And it just simply says this: be strong and courageous. Why? Because it's going to be hard and it's going to be difficult. Be strong and courageous. Don't be terrified. Don't be afraid or dismayed or intimidated. Don't doubt, for the Lord our God is with you wherever you go. And what's the promise there? This isn't on you. It's on him. He can handle it. We just got to have the faith and trust to follow him as he does. And one of the things, I was thinking about this with, you know, the different journeys that God calls us on and knowing the details versus not knowing the details is, you know, Jesus showed up with full knowledge of what he was going to experience on the cross. Full knowledge of everything that was going to take place. And he still did it. He did that for you and he did that for me. He stepped in where we couldn't. And because of that, we have victory over sin. We have victory over death. God's covenant promise with his people is fulfilled in Jesus. And what that means for us, if we have faith, we put our faith and trust in God and in his son, that means our detours don't have to be our destination. Our destination is in him. Whatever we're going through, he can see us through it. We just got to continue to believe in that. I'm going to ask that you guys would bow your heads. Close your eyes and let's... I know that I'm going to ask some questions here and I'm sure they're already swirling around. I know, like me, you may be going through it. There's a detour, there's a difficulty, there's something in your way and it's caused you to stop. It's brought fear and doubt. I wonder today, has your faith and trust in God diminished? Why is that? Have you forgotten who he is? Have you forgotten what he's already done? You've forgotten how he's redeemed, restored, rescued, saved, guided, and protected you? No matter what it is, no matter what seems overwhelmingly impossible right now, man, let God remind you that he can overcome it. But you got to put your faith and trust back in him. Maybe today your detail has been prolonged. And you find yourself, I don't know, yearning for maybe the old life you used to live, and the way it used to be. And it was just so much easier, and it was so much more convenient and comfortable. That life, remind yourself, remember, man, what was going on. Remember what God rescued you from. It may seem like it's better. Don't let that detour blind you from what God has for you once you get past it. What detour are you currently facing? How are you handling it? Have you responded with doubt? Have you responded with fear? Has it led to disobedience? I think the big question today becomes, have you let your detour become your destination? If that's the case, that is not what God wants for you or has for you. That's not where he was leading. And so if it's fear or doubt or discouragement, or if those things are keeping you from moving forward, can I just say to you today, God wants you to move past that. He wants to help you. He wants to guide you. He wants to provide for you. He wants to. He wants to restore and redeem whatever you feel that was lost. And he can. And he has. But you got to be willing to say yes. You got to be willing to go through some difficult detours. Maybe it's a conversation. Maybe it's a decision that pulls you away from your current job or pulls you away from where you're currently living. Maybe it's a decision to step away from a relationship that you know is not good for you. You got to give it to God. Maybe it's a financial thing, and it's just this mountain that you can't seem to see past or get around. We serve a God who moves mountains. And if something tells me that in your life, he's done it before. If he's done it before, he can do it again. Remember that. Recall that. Remember the blessings. Remember how he showed up. Look at what you're going through and say, God, what is your purpose for me right now? What are you trying to teach me? What are you trying to prepare me for? God, I want to know. I want to grow. I want to be more like you. I want to have your character so that whatever comes next, man, I can have the faith and trust to move forward with you, to continue to follow in the direction that you are leading. God, I thank you for the reminder today, just of the blessings. It's so easy to get caught up on all the bad, and all the difficult, on all the trials, and think that they're never going away, and this is where we gotta live. But it's not true, because that's not true of you. So thank you, God, through your word and through your spirit, that you have reminded us of your goodness. God, you have reminded us of your promise to enter into covenant relationship with your son, Jesus, to give us your spirit. Thank you for reminding us that no matter what detour is in our way, man, if we rely on you, put our faith in you, and we trust in you, we can overcome it because of you. I pray today that we would move forward from this place, ready to get over those detours, ready to put faith and trust back in God, ready to take our fear and doubt and put it in the past and step into that new journey that you have for us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.